Our scripture reading is from the book of Psalms. It's a beautiful book in God's Word especially also for us to worship Him, but also for teaching how we have to live and how to work and worship. Psalm 86 then especially expresses God's great and steadfast love of which we are dependent. And the psalm praise, and also for ongoing teaching in that. Psalm 86, let us read God's word. There's a prayer of David. Incline your ear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my life, for I am godly. Save your servant who trusts in you. You are my God. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for to you do I cry all the day. Gladden the soul of your servant, for to you, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all who call upon you. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer. Listen to my plea for grace. In the day of my trouble, I call upon you, for you answer me. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord, nor are there any works like yours. All the nations you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name. For you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with my whole heart, and I will glorify your name forever. For great is your steadfast love towards me. You have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol. O God, insolent men have risen up against me. A band of ruthless men seeks my life, and they do not set you before them. But you, O Lord, are a God, merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Turn to me and be gracious to me. Give your strength to your servant. Save the son of your maidservant. Show me a sign of your favor, that those who hate me may see and be put to shame, because you, Lord, have helped me and comforted me. As far the reading of God's word, may the Lord bless it and to our heart. In the sermon, we especially focus on verse 11, where we read, "Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear my name." Of course, to fear your name. And it shows that then there's learning involved, walking in his way, and that we have to have an undivided heart. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, here on earth, our way goes a path. In this life, we go from birth to death. Now, the first years of our life are the growing up years. Then our parents give direction, and they often, of course, are assisted to the teachers at school. But after high school graduation, we plan and we establish our way and determine our own path through life. An important question is, from whom do we get direction for our adult life, for our ongoing life? Now, by making public profession of faith, we commit ourselves to active faith involvement in church. Now, in view of a vocation, looking at our career in public life, we take, for example, an apprenticeship in construction, take a job in a shop, or something for which we do not need further education. Yet nowadays, many choose for higher education at a college or university. And then they follow a lot of teaching for learning, training, for example, for nursing, engineering, medicines, and a great range of science disciplines. Now, around that time of settling in adulthood, hormones often also take it and makes you aware of their existence. And then we start to look for a boy or a girl who will complement us in life, with whom we intimately can share our life in holy marriage. Well, in all these phases of life, let's not forget in which glorious state we are created. We are created in God's image. The Almighty God has crowned us to be the glory of His hands. And in all our relations, we need to be aware that we are God's workers. We are His co-workers. This means that we shine, that we reflect God's glory. Furthermore, what is especially the message, her emphasis this afternoon, that God is our highest good. And so the message is the glorious God as our highest good. First, learning His truth. Secondly, walking in His way. And in the third place, undivided fear of His name. And fear, of course, is not meant of anxiety. Fear here is respect and reverence, undivided fear of His name. Congregation, the Psalm 86, we could call as a because psalm. This psalm can be read to someone who asks all kinds of why questions. And of course, we all do that, especially when we are younger and when we grow up as teenagers. There's very often that why is on our lips, because we want to have a reason for our life and what we are doing and what we must do. Why this? Why that? We expect from our parents and from our educators then an answer because, very clear, because this and that. Well, Psalm 86, if you look at it, you can really see it is a because psalm. Why would you need to cry out to God? Well, because, first one, because you are poor and needy. You are helpless. And verse 2, why would God keep and save your soul? Why would He do that? Because you trust in God, and you are His. You belong to Him. You are His servant. Verse 3. Why does God give you grace? Well, because you cry for it. You pray, you long for it all the time. Verse 4. Why do you need to ask God for joy? Because you are weak. God will lift you up. And then in verses 5 to 10, there's a climax in regard to the reason for crying out to God, serving and worshiping Him and to be feeling dependent on Him. There's a reason for it. Because, well, indeed, God is your highest good. The remainder of the psalm elaborates on that theme. God's people worship Him as their glorious God. They are His blessed, dependent, and glorious people. Yet it needs learning. You need to ask your why questions to get instruction, training, and testing. Those items need continually be a part of our prayer then as well, especially this one, verse 11. Teach me, O Lord, your way. Teach me, O Lord, and instruct me in your truth. Now that truth is that, again, God is your highest good. He is the source of life. We need, in all things, we need God for help and direction throughout life. We need to know and to confess that. In fact, God likes to receive the response of our worship. He rejoices in our prayers and praise as we have given here this afternoon, but as we should give our whole life through every day again. He likes to hear the prayers and praise of his children, of his glorious children, giving that glory in our worship to God isn't only mentioned in Psalm 86, also the previous Psalm, Psalm 84 and 85, speak to that. Those Psalms, so to speak, for a triptych of glory, that God's glory and man's glory is a beautiful line, a theme throughout the Psalms 84, 5, and 86. Psalm 84, God's glorious people like to be in his glorious presence. As we also say, the house, for him, the church, the house is lovely to them. And God's people like to be there. Like David, that's their longing, and therefore that's what they pray for. Psalm 85 says, even in his presence, they like to hear very much that God speaks to them. His divine nature also shines forth in his covenant love and mercy. And that's then expressed in Psalm 86, verse 15. You, O covenant Lord, you, Lord, you are a God, merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Very, very well-known words throughout Scripture. And those are indeed the familiar words that we come across time and again. When, for example, in Exodus 34, when on Moses' request that he might see God and God appears to him, then God said, the Lord, a God, merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love to thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression. You read that in Exodus 34, verse 6. And congregation, those words became part of the Old Testament liturgy in the tabernacle and in the temple in the Old Testament. So David, the maker of this, the poet of Psalm 86, David heard these words every time when he went to God's house. They became, so to speak, seared in his mind. Something similar that happens to us as well. Every Sunday we hear the law of God reading to us. And what is repeated all the time in the Lord? The emphasis is that God is your God. He is your God. Time and again, I am your God. And that is his glory, and that is our glory. Beloved, God is our highest good. And the truth is, as it were, hammered into us by every step we take. As a toddler, already you heard mom and dad say, no, God is your God. Repeatedly you heard the same as a young child, again and again as a teenager, and as an adolescent. Furthermore, in your 20s and midlife, God is your God. And also, it happens when life rolls into old age. Even till our last breath, when life on earth ends, then God still carries us by His truth. I am your God. I am and remain your highest good. You share and will continue to share my glory. Why? Why do you hear those words in all the phases of your life? Because the answer is on your own. On our own, we are helpless. On our life path, we face many troubles and sorrows, like David also expressed in Psalm 86. But in those things, the downturn of life, the difficulties of life, God comforts and helps us. And He teaches us then His truth, also especially in trials. Your whole life is God's. God is your all-sufficient God. Wonderful. In all respects, the glorious truth for us is that God in Christ is our life-giving source. Not only when we are young or when we get older or when we are of old age. For eternity, God is our life-giving source. In all things, keep that focus, beloved. However, let's be honest, our focus is often different. For us, the truth often is that we are driven by our own ideals and dreams. And we look at our successes as a result of our smart moves, our decisions. We act as if we have to make our own life. Isn't it true? I'm quite honest. I have done, and I have thought that way. I have to make my own life. Yet for a moment, look now back at the stages of your life. Were the steps you took and decided upon the result, really the result of your own direction? Did you overcome yourself and your own strength, the challenges, sorrows, disappointments, difficulties you had to face, that you encountered? Is that truly the case in life? Of course. It's true that you did the steps. First they were wobbly, but soon it became steadier and determined. You made it from the one phase to the next. You made the steps. Yet, who actually made the stepping stones in front of you? And who gave you the strength to take them? The truth is what Scripture says in Psalms, like Psalm 37 and also in Proverbs 16. Psalm 37 says, It is the Lord who directs a man's steps. The same teaching is indeed given in Proverbs 16, verse 9, where we read, a man thinks out his way, but the Lord directs his steps. And that's true for all of us, beloved. Being young, middle-aged, of old, by God's word, you and we all are encouraged to focus on God in making our plans. Trust in Him, and He will direct your steps through life. So, beloved, young and old, the message this afternoon is true. God is your highest good. He will never leave you helpless. He will fulfill his purpose for you. Another word of scripture in Psalm 138, verse 8. He, God, will fulfill his purpose for you. Thus, continue to pray as you learn from God, especially when you need to make important life decisions. Oh God, God, my God, teach me your way that I should go. Yes, plead with him to direct your way. God wants to hear that, and so commit your way to your highest good, and he will act, as scripture also says in Psalm 37. And so we have come to our second point. Our focus, beloved, our focus can be off the mark, not only in regard of who directs our life, but it can also be on the point of the vocation we seek. Do we first and foremost want to work for ourselves? Is all our attention focused on work that pays well? Do we like to bolster our own ego in the position we aspire? Do we take work that comes with plenty of free time, very popular today? No doubt those things can and often will come along with the position we work towards or already occupy. They may come, as I would say, as I would call it, they may come as fringe benefits of the work we do. Yet the focus in what we do should not be on ourselves first and foremost. On whom should it be? It again must be, beloved, on our highest good, on our covenant God. He was pleased to create all things. He endowed us. He gave us with talents. He gave man the earth as a working place. He gave Adam his working order, and repeated that order to Noah after the big flood. God said to man, be fruitful and develop the earth. Take care and have dominion over all of creation. Work needs to be done in love to him and to fellow man. In his ongoing revelation, God shows that his aim is the renewal of his creation, that he will bring a new earth and new heavens. Well, our God placed his covenant people on that glorious way. He placed us as his servants and made servants. Undoubtedly, you know that the language of servanthood is used throughout the Bible. Also in our text, Psalm 86. Now, what is characteristic of a servant? It is working for and serving someone you belong to. Even David possessed a high position as a king. He showed the humility, though. He showed the humility of living and working as a servant of God. He calls himself his servant in the verses 2 and 4 and 16. 2, 4, 16. He calls himself the servant of God. And he shows that he doesn't live and work merely and merrily for himself. No, he depends on his maker and master to show the way that he should go. Scripture also shows the same humble and serving attitude by God's other servants. Abraham, we saw and heard about him this morning, Abraham calls himself God's servant. And so do Moses and the prophets. As well, of the Apostle Paul in the New Testament. They are God's servants. God used their will, their plans, and their strength in carrying out the plan for this world. They were God's servants for the coming of his kingdom. And now, of course, we also need to think of the servant of God. You know who he is? The servant of God. That's your Savior. He's also called King, but he was the servant of God. Jesus Christ showed himself to be the servant of his Father. He truly was aware to do God's will, serving the multitude of God's people, including us. And how was God the Father his highest good? It was his peace. He had peace with the way of his Father in order to give us peace. He walked that way to the bitter end. His strength is now our strength. And his travel guide, is our guide. Think of what he says in Matthew 5, where the Lord Jesus continues to hold up God's law in the Sermon on the Mount. There he shows our travel guide for the way we need to work in view of the coming kingdom. And then as God's servants, don't be amazed that on our way through life, we will meet hardship, opposition, even hatred, like all God's servants needed to endure, including the servant. What an opposition did he get, and what a suffering. David, come back to David in verse 17, he also points to such a situation of great trouble he endured. And there's no indication here who is opposing him and who his enemies were or why he found his way blocked. Yet it's clear his life is in great danger. He himself doesn't see a way out. Well, what is the spiritual danger when a servant of the Lord meets great hardship? The danger is that he turns inward looking. We are so easily inclined to do that, beloved. Also in our culture of today. If we meet opposition, or if it doesn't go very well, the danger is that we turn inward looking, giving our hurt emotions a free run, muttering very quickly, "Oh, that's unfair. I deserve a better treatment. I now will do this and that to reserve my miserable, to reverse my miserable situation." Indeed, beloved, in a very bad situation, the danger is to take measures in one's own hand. Take, for example, King Saul. He did so when he had to wait for the prophets to come. And he took and he offered sacrifice on his own, what he was not allowed to do. But David, in this Psalm 86, David doesn't fall into that pitfall of fear for man. In a very testing time, he continues to fear God and to acknowledge him as his highest good. And so we have come to our last point. Beloved, in tense times of suffering and adversity, a godly servant, and I hope you all with me, a godly servant knows the danger of giving up loyalty to God. It's so easily done. And therefore, it is vital to ask God to unite one's heart to fear his name. David himself has experienced how easily one starts to live a double life. And he is not the only one who slipped in that regard. Even the great prophet Moses did when emotions got the upper hand with him. And also the father of all believers, Abraham himself, did falter by lying as he feared to be killed by the king of Egypt. Now what about us? Isn't it easily done to praise God as our highest good in church? And afterwards, to seek our life, our good and ease in something else? That even can be as close as something very dear to us, even in family. The Lord Jesus says in Matthew 10, verse 37, "Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me." Imagine, even one whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son and daughter more than me is not worthy of me. You see, no one can bring the message that God is our highest good closer to our skin than the Lord Jesus. Brothers and sisters, young and old, in today's culture, with all the emphasis on just following one's own likes and pursuing dreams and ideals, it looks so natural, first and foremost, to be focused on self. It's all around us, and also in you and in me, to safeguard our own life, rights, and joys. Whoever doesn't falter in this respect, facing being in a quandary, experiencing unexpected hardship, yes, then at such point in life, you and I can easily do what? We forget that God is our highest good. However, be assured, beloved, who God is and what his character is. In no circumstances, even if we falter, even if a certain moment we do, in no circumstance he ever will forget us. Why not? Congregation, that's again a why question. And this one wasn't mentioned at the beginning of the sermon. But like those, the first ones, this one, why doesn't God forget us? It is also, and because answer. And is the most important one for us weak people. The last because answer needs to be connected to the important verses 5 and 15 of the psalm. 5 and 15 of God's self-revelation. What is, so to speak, should be seared into our mind. Because of God's holy character of being merciful and gracious, good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love. He always helps. He comforts us. He did so time and again to David, even when he pursued his own pleasure. In the case of Bathsheba and Uriah, remember? Then David forgot to walk in God's ways. But God did not forget him. God arrested him, made him repent. The reason is because of his name, because of his fame of being merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Congregation, our steps in life were not and won't be perfect. They are stained by sins of our pleasure. Yet here we are in Christ's church and congregation, and here we are in God's presence. We are His people, delivered from the depths of Sheol, as we read in Psalm 86. You could also say we are delivered from the depths of hell. Verse 13. It's closed. Why is hell closed to us? Well, the truth is that God is our highest good. God is our life-giving. Life-giving God. Through His salvation work by His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And Christ is our righteousness. All that is Christ is mine. You can even say Christ's heart is mine heart. You are Christ. So through the perfect servant, Jesus Christ, we have a new heart that more and more is united in wholehearted service of our faithful God. And therefore Psalm 86 says that we are people whom God has helped and comforted. Beware of that, beloved. We are people whom God has comforted and helped. And so again, at conclusion for a moment, look now back on the path of your life. For a few seconds, look back on the path of your life. Reflect on all the stages mentioned before. Then observe how day after day, the merciful and gracious God was with you. Look back on the path of your life. He helped you, and He comforted you. And then with an undivided heart, even if that be in the most sorrowful circumstances, surrender to Him in praise. And that's why we are here gathered together as God's people in reverence to Him. Singing our praise to Him. I will praise You, O Lord my God, with all my heart. And I will glorify Your name forever and ever, evermore. Yes, all thanks and praise to God alone. Beloved, always embrace your God as your highest good. Amen. Let us pray. We thank You, God. You, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You for Your word. We thank You for Your love and faithfulness. We thank You especially for sending Your Son. He has shown us in word and deed that You are our highest good. As this morning, once again, we have heard the gospel of Your truth. May it richly bear fruit in our lives, so that we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen.